SunTrust Business Lunchtime. I'm Bob Surratt.
And I'm Marianne Murciano. We're back.
And good to have you with us. Coming up in this hour, I think you might be depressed. Check your smartphone details momentarily.
Check your smartphone. It might be more depressed than you are.
We'll explain. And social media business, what's trending. Scott Kleinberg joins us in a little bit. And then out in the northwest suburbs, very exciting, a big restaurant opening up. They've been in other cities. Now they're coming to this area. First up, though, where in the world is Johnny Jett? Let's find out. Our world traveler into business class we go. The proprietor of the website, johnnyjett.com. Right there.
Hi there.
How are you guys doing?
Johnny.
Hey, where are you today, Johnny?
You know, I'm back home in L.A. Yesterday I was at the Del Mar Horse for in San Diego, but now I'm back home.
You certainly are a jet setter. Wall Street Journal yesterday, this is very interesting. I want to ask you about this. Airports around the world are beginning to move in the direction of using beacons. At London's Gatwick Airport, they identify you by your smartphone and give GPS-like directions to your gate, pointing out food or shopping along the way. In Germany, robots at the airport park your car and return it curbside after you land, linking your itinerary to your license plate. Researchers are developing robots that will be able to check your bags and deliver them within minutes of landing, and they say by 2018, 44% of airlines worldwide plan to use these beacons, and right now about 9% have used them. Have you encountered any of this around the world, Johnny?
You know, usually I have my Bluetooth off, so that's the way they reach you. So if you go onto your smartphone and you have your Bluetooth on, that's how the beacons reach you. If you don't, for people who are worried about privacy and stuff, you turn it off and you will never even see this stuff. But no, they don't. Actually, I read this article, by the way, in the Wall Street Journal, and I did encounter one of them. That is the gate reader, and that was in Germany in Frankfurt Airport. I was flying Lufthansa to San Francisco, and you know, they don't have anyone at the gate. All you do is scan your boarding card, and the gate opens up just like a stall when you go through a subway or whatever,
right.
and you go in.
All that is great until the system breaks down, and then there's nobody there you can complain to. Talk about this, these $99 damn on WOW Air. I never even heard of WOW Air.
Well, they're a new budget, low carrier budget airline out of Iceland. So you would
first you have to get to Iceland, then.
Well, you fly via Reykjavik. Usually the connections are, you know, no more than 70 minutes. And but it's really only a great deal for those out of Baltimore or Boston, since that's where they fly to right now. Eventually, I bet you they will fly to Chicago. But you got to be very careful when you fly these guys and any other budget low-fare carrier, because, you know, one of my buddies just took these guys and wrote a big story about how, you know, he was just checking a normal bag, and they charged him $76 each way. They also charged for seats each segment. So on the flight to Iceland and on the flight to Paris, wherever you're going, they'll charge you. So and if you look at the other carriers, like United, he was flying from San Francisco to Iceland via Baltimore, and he looked, San Francisco had another deal on United for, you know, $600 round trip. So the deals are out there. You just need to look around and sign up to different newsletters. That's why I put a deals newsletter out.
And you have to be very flexible, too, in order to take advantage of those deals, is what I have found.
Well, usually that's the case for every kind of deal, you know. But, you know, with a new carrier like this, WOW Air, you know, they're offering them, you know, for introductory rates. So that's a great way to save money right when you know, an airline announces a new route or a new airline pops up. That's when you can jump on and get some big savings.
Johnny, I'm really interested in this silver car that has arrived in New York City. Can you explain what that is? And is this something that you think we'll see in Chicago?
You actually, I think we talked about it once before. They are in Chicago. So what you do is you get a brand new A4 Audi, and when you rent these guys. So it's state of the art. It will have Bluetooth in there, so you can hook up your phone, so you can do conference calling. You can it gives you toll tags, so you don't have to worry about paying tolls, standing in any lines. You just pay them later. What I love the most about it is that when you return the car, you don't have to fill up the gas. You know, you just pay them $5 and they will do it. And it's the same rate as you would normally pay. So for $5, I would definitely do it. But it's a brand new car. I love it. And they are in Chicago and they do offer some competitive deals.
Like that. Let's talk about hotels a little bit. I was reading about this the other day. Supposedly, if you make your reservations through a travel agency like Expedia, that's not as secure as booking directly with a hotel. What about that, Johnny, when your room is reserved but it's really not guaranteed? What do you know about this?
Well, they should be guaranteed no matter who you book it through, and that should be the law. So when this happens, you need to, you know, put up a big stink, first of all. So a lot of times what these hotels will do, they'll overbook like the airlines do because they figure – you know, 10% or are not going to show up. But these days, people are showing up. And so what they do is they walk them, they call it, mm-hmm. where they will send them to another hotel, mm-hmm. you know, nearby. And if that ever happens to you, you always demand for a nicer hotel than that they're putting you in. Or, you know, just put, you know, put up a big stink at the desk. You know, I normally don't say be vocal and always be kind, but this is when, you know, if it's late at night and you've been traveling and it's going to be a safety issue, that's when you're like, hey, find something for me.
Well, Hilton issued a statement, and they said direct booking reservations may be favored when guests are relocated because it's easier for the hotel to communicate directly to the guest if they had booked directly through Hilton.
Right. Well, you know, what I normally do, you know, I have a search engine on my site. I usually search that, find the cheapest deal, and then call the hotel directly or go to that hotel's website directly and see if it's the same deal or better, or if it's just a little bit more money, I would probably book directly through the hotel. That way, you know, I'll get my miles. I will get usually free internet when you book directly through the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I still think you should be able to book wherever you find the deal, and they should be honoring it.
And when a hotel does, as you said, walk somebody, do guests get bumped based on how long they plan to stay, what their rate is, whether they're important clients, part of a group, and so forth?
I'm not exactly sure, but I imagine it is a little bit of everything. If you're a frequent customer, how much you paid. You know, a lot of times, you know, they'll look at the ones who are paying the cheapest rate, but that's when you get on these other reviews like TripAdvisor and Yelp and stuff like that, and you start ripping these hotels when they do stuff like that.
And finally, can you do this quickly, Johnny? This is very interesting. You had a post about how to get through airport security without an ID. I thought that was impossible.
No, it's not. Fortunately, it's never happened to me, but people do get their licenses stolen or lose them or misplace them. So what you do, you just go to TSA and you tell them what happened. Usually they'll take you to the side. They'll do all kinds of tests on you, and you can also show them your insurance card if you have a photo on it. I've heard about people even getting their Facebook profile, them bringing up their Facebook profile and then letting them in, which is crazy.
Huh.
But, you know.
Good tip. And as always, there's a lot more of them at JohnnyJet.com. Happy travels.
Thanks, Johnny.
You too.
Have
all
a
right.
great weekend.
We'll talk to you next week. Let's check in with John Carpenter now, reporting for Blue Sky Innovation, covering startup ventures and the culture of the new economy for the Tribune. And I alluded to this earlier, John, a study at Northwestern Medical School involving your phone. Tell us about this.
You know, there have been some studies that have linked using your cell phone too much with depression, but this is a little bit different.
I do that late.
What they did was they took a sample group of people, some of whom showed signs of depression, or they took a questionnaire and it seemed like they have symptoms of depression, and then some of whom did not, and then they tracked data on their phones for a couple of weeks, and they found that they could use just looking at the data, looking at where these people went and how much they used their phone, they could tell who were the people who were depressed. And what they found was depressed people tend to use their phone a lot, and they tend to not go very many places. I mean, that's kind of what we know, sort of common sense about people who are depressed. But what's interesting is the idea of being able to sort of use data from your cell phone and predict that. And I think the idea is to, A, help people sort of change their behavior, but also to sort of track people with their permission, of course, who are at risk, and get them help if they need it. They created an app for this, but it's a preliminary study. They kind of want to look at it a little bit more, but a pretty interesting. I mean, to me, the idea of your phone knowing whether you're depressed before you do is kind of interesting.
But you know, I've been hearing about this, but my question is that so the phone is not. It's only tracking how often you're on, but what if you're just like a really busy person and you are using your phone for work, for example?
Yep. Well, there's two ways of looking at that. One is that maybe that's something that would have to be fine-tuned. The other is that you may be really stressed and you may be kind of depressed and you don't really know it. But, I mean, the down the road, they're going to look in more detail. This was a preliminary study, so I think as they expand the study, you know, the other thing that I thought of is what if you're constantly talking to your good friends and your family? That's certainly not something that's depressed, you know, would show that you're depressed.
That's Marianne's argument. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. But I mean, I think they definitely have to look at it in more detail. But you know, there are some people who do use their phone a ton for work, and that would be sort of a different thing. But it doesn't just look at how much you use it, though. It also looks at where you go. And if you only are at home and at work, and so you're only basically in two locations throughout most of your life, you know, I think there's a pretty good chance that if you took this standard questionnaire to indicate whether you're depressed, you might answer some of those questions in a way that somebody would say, you know what, you maybe need to relax a little bit, or you maybe need to spend some time at a few places other than just your apartment and your office. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm glad the kids at Northwestern Medical School are using their time wisely on these studies.
Yeah.
Let's get to Groupon. They made a purchase. Who did they buy?
They bought OrderUp, which is a delivery service based out of Baltimore, I believe. It's a restaurant delivery service, kind of a lesser competitor of Grubhub. I mean, Grubhub is still the dominant player for restaurant delivery. But what's interesting for Groupon is it gives them. You know, they've been sort of working their way into delivery, but it gives them restaurant delivery as an option. Most people are probably familiar with Groupon, and in fact, I think restaurants is probably one of the more common Groupons. You know, that you get an email coupon offer to maybe try a new restaurant, and I think, you know, most people would probably agree if that offer now can more easily include, try this, check out this new restaurant, and by the way, we can also deliver it for you. It's probably a good thing for Groupon.
And finally, Protein Bar, the founder, has made a move. Where's he going?
He is Matt Matross founded Protein Bar. It's a healthy food, fast food place. It's in quite a few locations downtown, but it's also expanding. I think they have 20 locations now. He recently sold a big chunk of it. Made some money and kind of turned it over to a new CEO. He's still on the board for Protein Bar, but he traveled the world like these, you know, young, successful, you know, startup millionaires do, and came back with the idea that he really wanted to work in the area of sustainable food. So he's now the CEO of a company called Farm to Here, which is based in Bedford Park. And it's an indoor organic vertical farm. What they're trying to prove is that you can, indoor farming has been around for a while, and it's in small locations in the United States, but it's generally pretty small scale. And what they're trying to prove is that this can be a real successful business. And ironically, when you think of indoor fresh local, or when you think of like fresh local produce, you don't necessarily think of indoor, but what they're able to do is at scale using aquaponics, which is this very sustainable way of growing, they're able to grow really good fresh produce and get it into stores and restaurants within 24 hours. So you can buy farmed here microgreens and salad dressings, I think, in Whole Foods, and they serve restaurants. So the idea is to create a really easy, sustainable, scalable way of producing healthy food for people, as opposed to, you know, now where we have these massive farms and foods shipped all across the country and it doesn't really get to people too fresh.
Well, hopefully the whole landscape of how we get healthy food is changing for the positive.
Yeah. Yeah,
it is quick. It's quickly changing. John Carpenter, covering business innovation for Blue Sky, sponsored by Elk Grove Village. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Let's go to the hashtags, likes, and shares department. Scott Kleinberg from the Soul Social column in the Tribune. And why don't we talk about shopping first? I know Marianne will like this. What's this about Facebook shops? What are they doing?
They seem to be building little shops within Facebook pages. So it's like a test thing so far, but it's like a mini commerce site where if you have a business or a brand, the possibility of having a buy button and being able to buy a product right from the Facebook page is looking like it's going to be a reality. So small, you know, little bits and pieces, but, you know, that's how it started with Pinterest. Now there's Buy It Now pins, and there's ways to buy things now on Twitter. So it looks like Facebook is next in line.
And then Apple is getting into the personal shopping area, aren't they?
Now, this is a little bit more creepy. I'm not sure what the exact word is, but they want to do, they filed a patent application which would allow them to serve you ads based on knowing your income and credit card limits. Now, you would have to opt into this.
Oh,
this
no.
This is not something that they could just do. You'd have to agree to do this, but it is the ultimate form of target marketing, which means marketers can basically say they know that you will see their ad only if you can afford the product, which is gold to them because that way they know it's not being wasted on that person.
Oh, wow. But, I mean, they don't take into account that a lot of people live beyond their means. And,
I'm sure they don't. But that's just
really creepy and scary. And you say you have to agree to it, but
yes.
I'm sure that there are ways that they can do that anyway. And that they probably do already.
I really hope that there aren't. I mean, just based on that alone, being on credit card limits, I guess you could probably figure out. And I guess income you can figure. Yeah, you're probably right. And I don't like knowing that. I mean, I don't mind sharing data and information because I'm an internet person. But, yeah, that concerns me, too.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about curse search. That did you say on Instagram?
Instagram has taken away the word curvy. Yes.
So why? I don't get it.
Apparently, people were using the hashtag curvy to try to get around Instagram's very strict rules about posting nude photos. So they would post nude photos and use hashtag curvy. So it became a situation where, according to this report, it became a situation where they had no choice but to not allow you to use the word. Now, the problem is, the minute you take away a word and you say you can't use it, people try to find another one. But there are a lot of other words on there, words that we could never say on the radio that are acceptable hashtags, and people use them, and they do contain nude photos. So that's just one step in a very much bigger problem.
So they don't actually, I mean, if somebody wants to post nude photos, they don't have to use the word curvy.
No.
They can use a whole array of other different ones.
Yes, yes. What probably happened with curvy is it probably became popular for posting photos of their curves or photos that fit within the guidelines of Instagram, and then people started to hijack it because it became popular. That's what happens with hashtags on almost any platform, and it probably just became out of control.
And do they ever come back? Like, do they ever unban curvy, for example?
I've never seen a hashtag be unbanned. However, if it is out of the spotlight, let's say, for a year, and they delete all the photos behind it and they bring it back quietly, it could certainly happen. But I think it'll probably go away. But I'm sure in a few months' time, we'll be having a conversation about the next hashtag that they have to take away for the same reason.
I mean, you could just do this over and over and over again, right?
Oh, yeah. And,
yeah.
And people do that. People are trying to push the boundaries on social media all the time. And sadly, I mean, they have great rules that are in place. But when you have as many followers as, you know, Instagram has, it's impossible to police it.
And Marianne, on Instagram, you're not curvy girl, right? You're Havana girl.
I am Havana girl on Instagram. I hope they don't ban that.
Happy, I think you're safe.
Happy World Emoji Day. If we haven't greeted you with that yet, what are we supposed to do on Emoji Day, Scott?
On Emoji Day, as far as I'm concerned, I tried this morning in our morning news meeting. It did not go over well. I said every story you write today for the website should be in emojis, and it was just blank stares. And I was kind of half serious, not really. But basically, you're supposed to do all your communications in emoji, or you're at least, you know, asked to do so. And I've done a couple of tweets with emojis today, and, you know, it's fun.
So does that include the regular approved emojis, or is it like the ones that I use, which are large emojis that supposedly resemble me, but I think that she's actually cuter.
You will be very happy to know that your emojis, any emojis, are fine, because some of the examples that we've seen today that are getting a lot of retweets are there are emojis of the presidential candidates, and they're all actually pretty good. And so these can be official ones, ones in apps, ones that people draw. It could be any kind of emoji.
And Back to the Future is trending again, is it?
It is trending 30 years later because it is going to be back in theaters again. And, you know, it's October 2015 when the whole date happens where the Cubs win the World Series and there's flying cars and there's hoverboards. So unfortunately, can't take your flying car or your hoverboard to the movie theater, but it'll be coming back, and apparently all three films are coming back. So, I mean, I will be one of the first in line to see that.
Yeah, good for you. There you go, Scott Kleinberg with the Soul Social column in the Tribune.
And is it possible, Scott, real quick, to use an emoji and then post it? Like, will it transfer to Facebook?
It will. And one thing that I will recommend, there is a website called getemoji.com, getemoji.com. You can copy and paste emojis from there that will work all over different things. And there are special sections. These emojis work specifically on Twitter, Facebook, that kind of thing. It is a great website. And once you go there, you're going to get lost because there's so many things on there to do. It's really cool.
Okay, Talk to you and your emojis next week.
Thanks.
New business coming to the Northwest suburbs. Let's meet Chris Artinian, President and Chief Executive Officer at Smoky Bones Bar and Fire Grill. And welcome to WGN.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you?
As we understand it now, Smoky Bones is the third largest chain in the full-service barbecue business behind Famous Dave's and Sonny's. And around the country, you're big, and now you're coming to Chicago for the first time. Is it, Chris?
Sort of a return to Chicago. It was a concept that was here several years, a little over eight years ago. And Smoky Bones is coming back with sort of a rebirth. And why not Chicago? Great food city like Chicago, so we're excited to be here. I have some Chicago ties. I actually live in Chicagoland between here and Florida where we're based. But coming back to your question is that with such a great food city, we're so happy to be back in Chicago and introduce Smoky Bones
to the
area.
I can barely concentrate on what I'm going to talk to you about because of the smell in here. It just smells so delicious.
Smoked wings.
I can't wait to go and grab one. But what is it about the Midwest that you, I mean, because I think of the Midwest and I think of, you know, corn on the cob and barbecue, you know, a lot. So what is it? Is that what it is?
Well, you know, I think Midwest, the great comfort food. And what better than great comfort food than, smoked products like, ribs and barbecue and burgers and fresh brisket. And as we're smelling here, our signature smoked wings. And I think that, the Midwest is really, really hearty. And that's what barbecue and Smoky Bones brings with a great variety on the menu.
I recently discovered in my life, burnt tips. I didn't know that existed until recently. And there's what is it about that? That is like, it melts in your mouth. I don't know how it's done.
Well, burnt tips is really the byproduct of slow roasting and smoky greatness and then the droppings of that richness.
Yes.
So you have good taste.
Yep.
up until a few years ago, you didn't hear much about these barbecue places.
Yes.
And then it seems like it exploded. Did it in other cities too?
No, there really has been a trend, and you don't have to be traditional barbecue to serve, great ribs or brisket on the menu. And what's been nice over the last couple of years is freshness has been really important to folks. And we smoke everything in-house fresh. So when we talk about barbecue, we do it down home, hickory logs in the smoker, in-house, and that's been really differentiating. And I think that's been a real difference with the resurgence of barbecue in the last couple of years.
Well, people are trying to imitate it in their homes. I mean, how many people are buying the green egg and trying to do it? It's just that it's very time-consuming. So how is your restaurant going to be? Is it going to be in many places? Is it quick is it? Tell us about the restaurant.
No, thank you for asking, by the way. So we're a full-service restaurant and casual dining. So we have a wonderful bar. We're open till 1 a.m. Here in Mount Prospect, we're open till 1 a.m. during the week, 2 a.m. on the weekends. And we have a really diverse menu. So barbecue roots with ribs, burgers, and smoked wings, but great salads and chicken and some seafood. But we have a wonderful bar that, again, we serve the full menu till late at night, so it's not just drinks. So today, another trend is, you know, with families chasing the kids, et cetera, where do you find a great place in the suburbs to go get something great to eat? And mm-hmm. Smoky Bones right. is the answer.
You're in Randhurst at Mount Prospect. Plans for more around Chicago?
Yes, sir. This is just a great food town, so we are actively looking. Very, very close to signing another deal here in Chicago. And but I think it's the first of many. This city is great and will support us very well.
All right, we'll look for it and check you out. Smoky Bones Bar and Fire Grill, and it's Chris Artinian, CEO. Good luck to you here. I know you just opened this week, so get ready for a hot weekend in more ways than one. Huh?
Well, we'll keep it smoking hot for sure.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.